BBQShop.com. It's 63 at our studios.
99.7 Max FM. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to community on this lovely morning. A few announcements before we get started. Oh, it's okay. We like the sound of kids. Do what you need to do. Our greeter this morning is Barb. Tammy Young is our liturgist. A radio sponsor, Herm and Deb Chudy, in memories of Debbie's mom's birthday, Anna May. If you'd like to sponsor a radio broadcast, just be in touch with the office. It's $90 a week, and we really do have a number of people who listen very faithfully on the radio each week. Tamara and Denny are providing coffee fellowship this morning. We want to extend enormous thank yous to everyone who helped out with the chicken dinner last week. It was successful and it was fun and it was a good event for our church. So thank you all who helped out and thank you for eating chicken. We have adult study after church today, after coffee hour. We'll get some coffee and some treats and chat a little bit and then go downstairs for adult study. Tuesday is Christian fellowship meeting. We have consistory on Thursday. And Sunday the 28th, we will have a picnic in the park after church. So that will be a potluck. The church will provide main dishes of some sort. Chicken, hamburgers, I'm a little unclear. And bring salads and sides or desserts. It'll be fun. Bring some friends. Some other friends. And now hear our first UCC welcome statement. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First United Church of Christ. So come to worship and be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. Today we're going to hear from Jeremiah. There's a reason that Jeremiah gave his name to long, depressing speeches. We will hear from the book of Jeremiah. And also from Luke, a strange parable about a dishonest steward. You may have heard you cannot serve both God and money. That comes up today. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time and this holy place.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We assemble this morning in outrage and optimism, in fear for the future and hope for what's possible. We gather in the spirit of our ancestors who pushed through difficult times, and we gather in the spirit of our children who need us to be as strong. We join with each other in worship, that critical activity of heart and soul, where we align with our God, confront deceit of empire, and speak truth. We acknowledge our trepidation and step into our power. Come, let us worship together. Our next hymn is number 564 in the New Century Hymnal, "We Are Not Our Own," verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. Dear ones, let us show one another this sign of peace. As always, it's fine to stay in your seat. Some people huggers, some not. Participate as you are comfortable.
Thank you. This piece is probably not new to the congregation, but certainly not new to the choir. But what Pastor Jennifer shared with me, that part of the topic for today was peace. One of these topics just seemed like a fitting piece for us to do today as we start our speech. Please enjoy.
Thank you.
And now it is our kids' time. Would our kiddos come forward? Good morning. How are you?
Good.
The littlest gray. I'm going to read a book this morning. Does any of you know this one? It's pretty good. Some of the grown-ups might. Please come have a seat. It is called The Biggest House in the World. Some snails lived on a juicy cabbage. They moved around carrying their houses from leaf to leaf in search of a tender spot to nibble on. Snails on a cabbage. One day, a little snail said to his father, "When I grow up, I want to have the biggest house in the world." "That's silly," said his father, who happened to be a very wise snail on a cabbage. "Some things are better small." And he told a story. Once upon a time, a little snail just like you said to his father, "When I grow up, I want to have the biggest house in the world." "Some things are better small. Keep your house light and easy to carry." Snails on a cabbage. But the little snail wouldn't listen. And hidden in the shade of a large cabbage leaf, he twisted and twitched this way and that, until he discovered how to make his house grow. It grew and grew, and the snails on the cabbage said, "You surely have the biggest house in the world." It was getting pretty big, that little snail shell. The little snail kept on twisting and twitching until his house was as big as a melon. It's a very large shell. Then by moving his tail swiftly from left to right, he learned to grow large pointed bulges. So now it's all decorated and big pointy things. Yeah. And by squeezing and pushing and by twisting and wishing very, very hard, he was able to add bright colors and beautiful designs. Now he knew that his was the biggest and most beautiful home in the whole world, and he was proud and happy. That doesn't even look like a snail shell anymore. No. All kinds of bright colors and textures. A swarm of butterflies flew overhead. "Look," one of them said, "it's a cathedral." "No," said another, "it's a circus." They never guessed that what they were looking at was the house of a snail. See all the butterflies? Confused. Those are confused butterflies. And a family of frogs on their way to a distant pond stopped in awe. "Never," they later told some cousins, "never have you seen such an amazing sight. An ordinary little snail with a house like a birthday cake." Frogs. One day, after they'd eaten all the leaves and only a few knobby little stems were left, the snails moved to another cabbage. But the little snail, alas, couldn't move. His house was much too heavy. They're all scooting to the next cabbage.
see them go? He can't go. He was left behind and with nothing to eat. He slowly faded away. Nothing remained but the house, and that too, little by little, crumbled until nothing remained at all. It was this big, beautiful house, all broken. That was the end of the story. The little snail was almost in tears. But then he remembered his own house. "I shall keep it small," he thought. "And when I grow up, I shall go wherever I please." It's back to the dad snail and the little snail on the cabbage. "It's okay." And so one day, light and joyous, he went on to see the world. Some leaves fluttered lightly in the breeze, and others hung heavily to the ground. Where the dark earth had split, crystals glittered in the early sun. There were polka-dotted mushrooms and towery stems from which little flowers seemed to wave. There was a pine cone lying in the lacy shade of ferns and pebbles in a nest of sand, smooth and round like the eggs of a turtle dove. Lichen clung to the rocks and bark to the trees. The tender buds were sweet and cool with morning dew, and the little snail was very happy. Gets to explore the world. Yeah. There he is. The seasons came and went, but the little snail never forgot the story his father told him. And when someone asked him, "How come you have such a little house?" he would tell the story of the biggest house in the world. The snail in this story works a lot like Jesus did. Sometimes people would say something to Jesus, and then he would tell them a story. In the gospel we hear today, when you guys go to Sunday school, he will talk about a dishonest steward. And he will say to people who are listening to him, you can't love God and money. You can't love them both, because one of them's going to come out on top. And if you love money, it's going to be money. I think that fits with the little story that we heard. He wanted a really big house, and it got in his way. Sometimes we can have too much stuff, huh? Did your mom ever have to clean out your toys and your things? Yeah. Yeah. Me too. All right, let's pray. Holy God, bless these children. Bless all the children in our congregation, our lives, our hearts. May they grow in wisdom and in faith. May they grow in love of you, love of neighbor, and love of themselves. May all these kids, the kids that are here and the kids that are to come, may they know that they are precious and they are beloved, and may they remember always what is truly important. Not the biggest house, not the most stuff, the most love. Amen. All right, now you can go to Sunday school. Thank you all. And now please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Abundant God, Genesis tells us that you set humans in the primordial garden to tend and keep it. Be good stewards and friends to the earth. Care for all creatures. Yet we twist this sacred relationship to extract, frack, clear-cut, strip mine,
And in doing so, we reveal how we worship money rather than God. Empire may claim to love God and loudly shout Jesus' name, but the way we live in this world shows that it is mammon we truly worship. Help us to shift our priorities in caring for the planet more than building big houses, feeding the hungry more than elaborate meals, clothing the naked more than filling our closets, recognizing all creation as kin rather than objects to be exploited for gain. Help us use our freedom for good rather than gain. Help us to be people of love, following Christ instead of the dollar. In your eternally giving name we pray. Amen. And hear this assurance of God's grace. For such a time as this, we have been called to love and serve. There are many who need God's love. There are many who need our love. God is in our midst, healing, challenging, comforting, supporting, sustaining, and loving. God has blessed us with gifts and talents to create community that does justice, loves kindness, and walks in the presence of the holy. God works with us and God works through us. Amen. For which we all say,
our first testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 4 verses 11 and 12 and 22 through 28. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward the daughter of my people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and it was complete chaos, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black, for I have spoken. I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back.
Our gospel reading today is from Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. Summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful in much. Whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Then you have not been faithful. If you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you've not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Bible says almost nothing good about money. There are a few places it's a little bit unclear just how bad it is, but mostly it's over and over and over. Money is a danger, a great spiritual danger. Today is one of those times we hear about the danger of money. We'll hear it again in just a few weeks. We tend to think of money in terms of what it will purchase. We don't often think about money in terms of what it costs. For most of us, the money we have, we obtained through an exchange of time and talent and energy and ideas. It's worthwhile to stop and pause and take account of the exchanges we are making to be sure that they are fair exchanges, good exchanges, and that they serve us well. You all know, probably tell your kids, if you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else. Yes to more and more hours at work means no to more family time. When I say that money isn't as important as we often make it out to be, someone will often remark, maybe the church doesn't need the pledge. And we do. We do need the pledges. I ask and even expect people to donate 5% or more. Jesus says in the Old Testament, 10%. Jesus said, give all you can, which is more than 10%. To this church, to other causes that you think are important and worth supporting. And I would say that good churches that offer honest religion and a view of God's love, they're about the only place in society where we routinely question what gods we are serving, including and especially the God that is money. And we ask whether it's worth serving that God. I'm going to say no. The performance of our economy has been measured for some time by how well the stock market is doing. And it might seem that that's just how economies are measured, but it's not. It's a drastic change from 60 years ago, when the health of the economy was measured by how well the majority of Americans were doing. The country took pride in the fact that most people in most jobs could earn enough to buy a house and a car on one paycheck often. Anyone who wanted to go to college could go to college without mortgaging an arm and a leg. The health of the economy was measured by how the middle class was doing. How are the poorest doing? And now it's how much can those who own stocks earn every quarter? And when you do that, people are defined in the currency of money. If workers are fired, we call it downsizing or right-sizing or just firing, stock prices can still go up. The money that would have gone to pay raises and health insurance and benefits and pensions, that money is funneled to those who own the stocks, not those who earned it. And we've lived so long in this world that it seems kind of natural. But you can value people for their humanity, for their inherent dignity as beloved children of God, or for earning potential. And as Jesus said, you cannot serve money and God. One of those is going to beat out the other. A challenge, and I think it is a religious challenge, is how do we establish right relationship with things, with people? How do we tell what deserves our yeses and what deserves some no's? It's a hard lesson, and in most families, everybody has to work, not the kids yet, in order to pay the bills. It's because of economic priorities that we have adopted as a society. The number of people that die each year from lack of health care. Health care is one of our biggest economic drivers. And really, it's crisis care. You can't build an economy, build a healthy economy on people being sick. We reward billionaires more than nurses, teachers, mental health counselors. It's about what we value as a nation. And this answer, I mean, this raises so many questions, right? I also have way more stuff than I need. My husband is nodding. It's very rude. But I have a lot more than I need. And I still buy more stuff. He's nodding again. I knew he would be. Does the money we spend enrich our lives? Does it help us to flourish? does it give us a more nuanced appreciation of life and community? Does it help us engage with others in loving ways? Does it give us richer relationships? Does it? Money can occasionally be a good servant. It's a bad, bad master. And we see that all around us. I could talk for another hour and a half, but I'm not going to. This dear ones, I ask us to look. Look at our lives. Look at the choices that we make. Do they reflect our deepest values? Do they reflect who we are, who we want to be, as individuals, as communities, as a society? Bless you. May we make them so. Amen. And our hymn is Pray for the Wilderness, number 557. Join me in our climate litany for International Day of Peace. Creator God, we acknowledge all those already lost as the world feels the effects of global warming and climate change. Thousands of people, as well as animals and plants, die every year from the effects of global climate change. To all those people lost to extreme heat waves. To all those people lost to floods, hurricanes, mudslides, and other disasters caused by changing weather patterns. To all people lost to hunger as crop patterns change.
We remember you.
To all lost to drought as weather patterns change.
We remember you.
To all lost to disease as the environment shifts.
We remember you.
To all those animals whose lives have been lost as global climates change.
We remember you.
To all those green growing things, providers of oxygen lost as global climates change.
We remember you.
To all those species lost forever as global climates change.
We remember you.
We remember you and we commit ourselves to restoring balance. So may it be.
So may it be.
And God invites us to share our joys, our concerns, our prayers today with God and community. Are there prayers to share?
Let's say a prayer and remember Lois Price. She will be having some work done on Tuesday, so let's keep her in our prayers for that day. And also prayers for our country and this world.
There are no more prayers to share. Let's take a few moments for the prayers we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for Lois Price, and her health and recovery. We pray for this country. We pray for this world. We pray for peace. Hear these prayers and all the prayers of our hearts. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. Father, Mother, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our blessings to build this community, this church of love, of telling truth, radical hospitality, and welcome.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We refuse to bequeath the dying planet to future generations by failing to act now. We act in peace with ferocious love of these lands in our hearts. We act on behalf of life. We commit to just peace. We commit to our planet. We commit to our children and all creatures. We commit to our Creator to give what we have and are beyond what is easy and comfortable for a better future. Amen. May it be so. You may sit. In his lifetime, in his ministry, Jesus sat at many tables and broke bread with many different people. He sat with the poor, the deserving poor, the undeserving poor, whatever either of those means. And he said, God loves you. God loves you and wants your wellness. God wants you to have those things you need. He sat at table with wealthy people, and he told them to give away everything they had and follow him. He sat with sinners. He sat with holy people. He sat with men and women. He sat with children. He said, you all matter. On his last night, the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He blessed the bread, and he broke it, saying, this is my body. It is broken for you. Eat and remember. Remember you are beloved. Remember this table where I sat with you and told you to love others as you are loved. He took a cup of wine. He blessed the wine, saying, this is my blood. It is shed for you. Drink and remember me. Remember what truly matters in life. Holy Spirit, pour out your blessings on this bread, this cup, that they may be for us bread of life and cup of love. May what we eat today fill us with all that we need to love the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Is broken for you. Hi, the bread of life is for you, Aria. The bread of life, Anna. Bread of life broken for you, Mike. Bread of life broken for you, Marcy. Bread of life broken for you, Steve. Bread of life.
life is broken for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's. We're starting a short 3-week series on stewardship.